This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And the disciples said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then Jesus sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Absolutely love our text from Exodus today. And no, it is not just because it is full of incredibly powerful women. That is just like a happy little sign from the Holy Spirit of our Lord. No. In all seriousness, I love this text. Not just because of the powerful women. I love it because of what makes these women powerful. Pharaoh has forgotten the friendship and the promises made between his predecessor and Joseph. And he looks upon the Israelites with fear. And like every ruler who is afraid of their own weakness, he chooses the way of might makes right. He enslaves the Israelites and decrees that every male child born to the Hebrews will be killed. This is a world that is full of violence, of murder, slavery, of physical abuse, of suffering. And it is just the way things are. Pharaoh has power, wealth, armies, privilege. He is in charge. What he says goes. And some even consider him to be a god. That is the world that they live in. But in this world of injustice, there are some incredibly powerful women who refuse to accept that this is just the way things are. There are the two Hebrew midwives who defy a direct order from Pharaoh and then lie to his face to save the Hebrew baby boys. They absolutely refuse to accept that these babies have to die. That is just the way things are. They refuse to accept that. So they use their power, their ability to act to save these children's lives. There's Moses' mom. She will not accept that her child is condemned to death just because Pharaoh says that it is so. Because that's the way things are. She hides her baby boy. And when she can no longer hide him, she still will not give him up to be executed. She prays that God will deliver him and the waters of creation. even when all hope seems to be lost, she still will not accept Pharaoh's world of violence and death for her child. There's Miriam, Moses' sister, who is just ingenious. When it seems like her brother will be parted from them forever, it is Miriam who speaks up to the daughter of Pharaoh, right? The princess of this ultimate power in the world. Miriam goes and speaks to her and makes it possible for their mother to nurse Moses as a child. Through the power of her creativity and courage, Miriam, this little girl, defies the world of Pharaoh that would have separated their family forever. And there is Pharaoh's own daughter. The princess of this land, she takes one look at this little baby boy. She will not let him die. She knows he is a Hebrew. She knows the law of her father. But she refuses to accept the world that her own father has created. All of these women absolutely refuse to accept the world as it is. If it is a world of injustice and suffering, they do everything in their power to defy that world with faith, with prayer, with love, with creativity, with courage, and with compassion. Their choice to act in courage and in love in the face of injustice and suffering, their choice to defy the world as it is and create the world as it should be, that is what makes these women truly powerful. And I think that choice is why Peter is able to give the testimony that he does in our gospel lesson today. Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answers, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Matthew's gospel is marked by a significant number of teachings. It has the highest amount of teachings of all of the gospels. About 43% of Matthew's gospel is Jesus teaching. And all of these teachings center on the kingdom of heaven. Jesus proclaims, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." He shares the good news of the kingdom. He gives us the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those in mourning, the meek, the hungry and thirsty, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, those who are reviled and lied about on Jesus' account. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He says that those who follow the commandments are great in the kingdom. Love of God and love of neighbor. And he gives us a multitude of parables on the abundance of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus goes on and on and on about the kingdom of heaven, a world of abundant love for those who are most vulnerable, those who have been trodden upon, those who have lost all hope, who feel so unloved. In his teachings on the kingdom, Jesus turns the standards of the world upside down. It's not survival of the fittest, might makes right kind of world that Rome proclaimed, that Pharaoh so strongly believed in. It is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Peter has listened to all of these teachings on the kingdom, and he has witnessed Jesus create this kingdom of heaven on earth. Simon Peter has seen Jesus drive out demons, heal the sick, including Simon's own mother-in-law, have compassion for those who are like sheep without a shepherd, feed crowds of thousands, not just once, but twice in Matthew's gospel. He's seen Jesus call Matthew the tax collector, someone considered so sinful, so horrible, that nobody would invite Matthew over for dinner. Jesus goes to Matthew's house for dinner. Peter has seen this. He's seen Jesus walk on water, exhibit his control over all of creation. Peter has even seen Jesus raise the dead. Jesus hasn't just preached about a different world. He has created one. And I think it is witnessing that that has given Peter this testimony. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. The Messiah doesn't just preach about the kingdom of heaven. He makes earth as it is in heaven. He teaches us that a different world is possible, and then he creates that world. My siblings, when we pray in communion every week, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven," we aren't just asking God to act. We're making a commitment to act too, to do our part, everything in our power to make earth as it is in heaven. Like the incredible women of Exodus and Jesus and Peter, our world has suffering in it. There is hunger, there is thirst, there is loneliness, there is this sense of feeling so unloved and unseen and unheard. Gosh, there is this sense of hopelessness. We too have suffering in our world, and it doesn't have to be that way. Our faith in Jesus the Christ, Messiah, calls us to make earth as it is in heaven. We cannot accept injustice and suffering by saying that's just the way that things are. Our faith calls us to action, and it also calls us to hope, to belief. Every week we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We would not pray that prayer if we did not believe that was possible. Jesus would not have given us that specific prayer if he did not believe it was possible for earth to be as it is in heaven. So, my siblings, we can be powerful like those women in Exodus. We can recognize our ability to act, to make earth as it is in heaven. So, if we want our earth to be a place without hunger and thirst, we can learn about the causes of food insecurity and work on them. It's good to give food to a pantry. It's even better to root out the causes of that food insecurity in the first place. If we want our earth to be a place where people who are homebound or who are grieving are not alone, we can visit. We can call. We can reach out and have that relationship. We can come to the pastoral care training that Deacon Amy's going to do here at Grace in October and become lay ministers to visit others. If we want our earth to be a place where our coastlines are restored, we can support the work of Glass Half Full and Glass Roots. If we want our city to be a place where people do not die simply because we don't have electricity, like the 21 people who died in the wake of Hurricane Ida because we didn't have electricity in our city. 21 people lost their lives simply because we didn't have electricity. Then we can support Together New Orleans' work on the neighborhood power plan. where there is a concrete plan to save those lives. Gosh, my siblings, if we just want our earth to be a place that is more forgiving, then we can choose to be more forgiving. We can choose to be slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. If we want our earth to be like it is in heaven, then we can make earth like it is in heaven. My siblings, we don't have to accept the suffering and the injustice of this world. Accept it as just the way that things are. What made the women of Exodus so very powerful was their absolute refusal to accept that that suffering was just the way things are. It was their choice to do everything that they could to make the world more loving, to save those little babies' lives. That's what made them powerful. Even little Miriam, just a child. Peter is able to testify that Jesus is the Messiah because Jesus doesn't just preach about the kingdom. He makes earth as it is in heaven. My siblings, our belief in Jesus the Christ, our testimony in Jesus the Messiah, it's our choice to do everything in our power to create the loving world that Jesus shows us. And it is our belief that this world is possible because Jesus says that it is so. Amen.